time again to take your seats and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. In the last class session, we had begun a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of March 22, 1925, by E.A. Elam, on the 40 days in the Ascension, talking about the time that Jesus was on this earth after his resurrection, and ending that time with his ascension into heaven. And looking at this, we had come to the helps and hints for the teachers. And in Elam's notes, we read this: the different appearances of Jesus after his resurrection were mentioned in the last lesson. They all served their purpose in convincing the world that Jesus rose from the dead. This lesson embraces three of those appearances: to the two at Emmaus on the day of his resurrection, Luke 24:12-30 and 31. To the apostles on the evening of the same day. And his last appearance when he ascended into heaven. Luke, like Matthew, passes over several appearances of Jesus and closes his gospel with the ascension. The ascension and glorification of Jesus were fitting into his self-sacrificing, miracle-working, and wonderful life. And now we come to the explanatory notes. Before we go into those notes, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, I'm going to ask you that if you have your Bible handy, you get it, and you turn to Luke chapter 24. And I want to read to you Luke 24:36. And we're going to be talking about Jesus' fifth appearance after his resurrection. It says in Luke 24:36, "And as they spake these things, he himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." After Jesus appeared to the two disciples at Emmaus and vanished out of their sight, they at once arose from the table where they were eating and returned to Jerusalem to inform the apostles and others of all the wonderful things they had seen and heard, and that Jesus indeed was risen from the dead. John 20 and verse 19 says, "When therefore it was evening on that day," and that is the day of his resurrection, the first day of the week, "and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." While the two, just returned from Emmaus, were relating what they had seen and heard, Jesus did this. At the very time the disciples were discussing his resurrection, and some were declaring their unbelief, Mark 16:13-14, Jesus appeared and upbraided them for their unbelief. The place of assembly was probably the upper room, which Luke mentions in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, and in which they had already eaten the Passover. The doors were shut, because the disciples would naturally suppose that those who took the life of their master would seek theirs also. "Peace be unto you" was the ordinary salutation of friendship among the Jews on the Thursday night before his betrayal and separation from his disciples. Jesus had said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be fearful." John 14:27. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had returned to them. The only way to true and permanent peace in Christ now is to overcome evil and triumph through the truth over error and wrong, yielding to wrong and ceasing to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3 is not peace. There is such a thing as crying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Now let me read Luke 24, verses 37 through 39. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had beheld a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And wherefore do you questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye behold me having. Jesus suddenly, and it seems miraculously, stood in the midst of the company of disciples, and they were terrified and affrighted, supposing they'd beheld a spirit. To allay their fears, Jesus said, Why are you troubled? And wherefore do you questionings, or do these questionings arise in your hearts? From what they had seen him do before, and all he had said concerning his death and resurrection, they should not doubt, but should have expected his return, to convince them beyond doubt that he was not a spirit, but had risen from the dead. He showed them his hands and feet and said, Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye behold me having. This was not the meeting when Jesus invited Thomas to put his finger into the nail prints of his hands and his hands into his side. Thomas was not present at this meeting. It was on the next Sunday when Jesus said this to Thomas, John 20, 24 through 29. Now back to Luke chapter 24, verses 41 through 43. Or I'll begin in verse 40. When he said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And he said unto them, These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. These disciples disbelieved for joy and wondered. They were convinced, overjoyed, and yet could not understand how these things could be. Jesus stood before them, flesh and bones, with his scarred hands and feet, and they could no longer doubt. To further assure them, Jesus said, Have ye anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Jesus ate with his disciples at different times after his resurrection and before his ascension. Jesus must have eaten because he was hungry, for he had flesh and bones, flesh and blood to belong to this earthly state, and cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Christ's body of flesh and bones did not see corruption in the tomb. Hence it was the same after his resurrection. Doubtless he was changed into his glorious body when he ascended, as those who are alive at his coming will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Let me pause and read to you that passage from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read from verses 50 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now we have come in this Sunday school lesson to the subtitle, Jesus' Last Meeting on Earth with the Apostles, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. Let me read that to you. He said unto them, These are the words which were spoken to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their minds, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city, until ye be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out, until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. He had said unto them, Not in the meeting on the evening of the first day of the week, when he rose from the dead, as noted in the previous part of this lesson, but in the last meeting he had with on earth with his disciples. 40 days intervened between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, during which time he showed himself alive by many proofs, and gave commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles, and spoke to them things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This teaching was an emphasis of all Jesus had taught his apostles during his personal ministry, and a further explanation of the spiritual nature and work of his kingdom, while the commandment embraced the great commission to preach the gospel into all the world, making known the conditions of pardon and peace to all. Jesus reminded the apostles here of what he had said while with them before the crucifixion. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Here we note the three general divisions of the Old Testament: the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. All the types, promises, and prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the salvation of the human family were fulfilled in the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But Jesus refers here to the grand consummation of all in his resurrection and ascension, and the fact that repentance and remission of sins could now be preached in his name among all nations. And so in Luke 24:45, we read that Jesus opened he their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. That is, he explained the Scriptures to the two on the way to Emmaus as follows. Beginning from Moses and all the prophets, We're going to stop and continue in our next class.